Does anybody have their Bible? God's holy word. Amen. If you've got it, take it and turn to Ruth chapter number 2. Ruth chapter number 2. We'll just begin on verse number 5. It said, "Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning unto now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done and thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not hitherfore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaiden, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, when thou come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel into vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her and parsed corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. I want to preach on this thought just a few minutes this evening, if God will bear help, on under His wings. Under His wings. We see this story, this short story, and Ruth is only 4 chapters in this book. As you come out of the Judges and you have the little book of Ruth, and we see a story of a man, and his name's Elimelech, and he has a little family, his wife and 2 children, two young men, sons, and we see him, as the Bible says, that it come a time, and it was a time when the judges ruled, the Bible says in chapter number 1. And that Elimelech would gather up his wife and his family, and they would, because there was no bread, and he would try to find a place where they could find some sustenance. And you know the story, it rocks on. And Elimelech, he takes his family, and he goes to Moab in the search of bread. And now we see him, Elimelech, as he goes there, and he doesn't intend to go there for a long time. He intends just to sojourn there and come back. But we see that he ends up, and it's in the time when the king, when judges rule. We see it's in a time, praise God, when something was taking place. Now we see in the life of Israel how that they would go through cycles. Israel would be running pretty well with their eyes on the Lord, Josh, and then they would take their eyes off the Lord and they'd fall into idolatry, and then God would have to come along and chasten them, and usually use their enemies to chasten them, to drive them back to God, where they could get help to go a little further, amen? And we see it playing out, and we see how God would chasten them. They'd turn to God in repentance, praise God, from their idolatry, from the chasing the gods of this world. You say, preacher, I just don't understand that. I was thinking this morning, as I was sitting out there in the study, you know, a lot of times we down Israel, we put them down because they was so many times that they turned their back on God, went after their own pernicious ways. But don't we also? They sold me, Brother Bill, they sold many things in this world. They sold many little G gods in this world that people are chasing after. When we need the great God of glory, we need the God of heaven, amen. We need to stay with Him because He has all the answers. I don't have the answers today, praise God, other than in the volume of a book that it's written of Him. Praise His name. I'm glad it's that way, ain't you? Praise God. God moves in a mighty way. And God would see the repentance of their heart. And then He would send these judges. They were military leaders that would come along. And they would put down the resistance. They would drive back the enemy. And then they would praise God and give God glory again. And we see the cycles as this took place over and over again. And we see in the world that we live in, the same cycles are happening today over and over again. I come to a conclusion, Brother Josh, it's easier just to stay with God. Amen. Not have to go through the chase and things. Hey, this life is hard enough without having to put yourself out there, praise God, in rebellion against God. Amen. Because God gives us the direction if we'll just listen. So we see here in the life of this family was a time of chastening. Amen. They was going through hardship. There was a famine in the land. And so they soul journeyed in a temporary journey, supposedly, that took them further than they wanted to go and kept them longer than they wanted to stay. Amen. There was a famine in land. They ended up staying in Moab for about 10 years. Amen. Never intended to go there. And we wonder what kind of a chastening was going on at that time that there was no bread in Bethlehem. Which was actually the name of Bethlehem was about the house of bread. But see that they was running out and they was running low. But God's chastening hand was upon. See, God had told them before this, before they ever went in to possess the land, God said, listen, said, there's some things that you need to know. There's some separation that you need to have. And what you need to do is just stay with me and call upon me and listen to what I'm telling you and everything will be okay. I want to say today, according to the Word of God, praise God, we just need to listen to God and everything will be okay. Yeah. Amen. We will finish well this course that we're on if we'll just listen to God. Amen. In Deuteronomy, let me just show you that. In Deuteronomy chapter number 4, Deuteronomy chapter number 4, verse number 25, the Lord says this. Verse number 24 said, the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. That right there will tell us all we need to know. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. God's jealous. Amen. He wants our full attention. He wants, praise God, our love. He wants us to look unto Him, the author, finisher of our faith, for everything that we need. But listen to what He says, verse number 25. He said, when thou shalt begat children and children's children, and shall have remained long in the land, and shalt corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke Him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, where the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, little g gods, the works of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. Now watch this, verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him if thou seek Him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation and all things, these things are come upon thee, even the latter days, kind of like we're living in now. Said, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto His voice. Amen. Listen to God. Said, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which He sware unto them. So we see the Bible tells them here, he's told them beforehand, praise God, that they just need to seek the Lord. He said the time of chastening comes, and it would come when they turned away from God. But the first thing they need to do when they realize they're out of the will of God, out of the way of God, in rebellion against God, was to seek Him with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength, and get back to God. Amen. We need a country and a nation that'll get back to God. I've never seen so much ungodliness in all my life. Amen? We're seeing leaders, supposed leaders of this great nation that are just full of wickedness. They're full of the devil. They've got a convention this week, and outside the convention, they've got trailers set up doing abortions and vasectomies, killing babies, praise God, doing ungodly things right outside of their doors. Amen. God help America. That's not where we are. That's not what we are. That's not who we are. Amen. We are one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all in the name of an almighty God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We better focus. We better focus. We better get back to God. We see the chastening hand of God. And then we see the time of calamity, not only the time of chastening, but a time of calamity. It says that they're there and Amalek dies. And not much longer afterwards, Mahlon dies and Chilion dies. Amen. They go out of here. And all that's left, this family consists of is these three ladies, Orpha and Ruth and Naomi. Amen. Tell you, we better be careful not to rebel against God. We better not be careful not to turn our back on God. We better be careful not to walk away from God. Amen. We better stay with the Lord to the best, the very best of our ability. Amen. Praise God. But we see in this story that Amalek's gone. Both of the sons have gone. And Naomi. Poor old Naomi, left alone with these two ladies. The Bible says in chapter 1, verse number 6, that she rose with her two daughters-in-laws that she might return into the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people and given them bread. Amen. She heard a comforting tone from home. Amen. This woman, Naomi, she heard in her grief and her anguish, she heard a comforting voice from her hometown, from her city, praise God, that God had blessed His people in giving them bread. So she takes these two girls and she starts heading back, and she realizes as she's going, she begins to speak to them, and she says, listen, why don't you go ahead and turn around? Verse number 8. She says, go and return each to her mother's house, and the Lord dealt kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices, and they wept. Amen. So Naomi, she said that she'd come out of Bethlehem. She went to Moab. She had certified there for 10 years. She comes out and she says, you know what? I've heard that there's bread in Bethlehem. She said, I'm going to go back home. She said, but you girls, you might as well stay here. You might as well go back to your families and go back to your gods. Amen. Yeah, she said, if I had sons right now, would you wait for them? Surely you wouldn't. And so she tells them to go. Of course, Orpha, the Bible says that she kissed her mother-in-law, verse 14. But Ruth clave unto her. Amen. So we see Orpha, she took the advice of her mother-in-law. And she said, okay, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just go back home. I'm just going to give up. I'm going to give it up. I'm just going to go back to where I used to be. I tell you, when you get away from God, and you live in godlessness, if we ain't very careful, we'll lose our witness and our testimony to a lost and a dying world. But there was still something about this Naomi that Ruth just couldn't part with. The Bible says in verse 15 of chapter 1, and she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." Now what's Ruth? And Ruth said, verse 16, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go." This scripture right here is so impressive that a lot of times we use it in weddings. I mean, even to today, we still use this scripture, verses 16 and 17, in weddings today. Then Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to go from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." If you'll notice, it's both of them's big G gods. Amen. Praise God. It's singular. Yeah, a big G God. She said, "Your God is going to be my God." Amen. She said, "I don't want those gods." And I've tried those back down there. I've tried what they had. I've tried what they had to offer. And it wasn't nothing compared to the good God of heaven. And so he said, verse number 17, said, "Where thou diest will I die. And where there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if all but death part thee and me." Amen. So we see it play out here as Ruth makes a commitment unto her mother-in-law. We see these ladies, praise God. And now we see Myra, she's weary and she's cynical and she's bitter. And how in the world Ruth got anything from her that would encourage her to stay with her and go with her God and try to get any benefit out of this woman's life. But there was something maybe before in Naomi's life when she was that pleasant one. That Ruth had seen, praise God, that the adversity in her life and the chase in her life had caused her to be cynical and bitter. But there was something different in her, praise the Lord. And Ruth knew, I believe she knew that it was still there. Amen. Just had to be brought out. There's a lot of people, I believe, today that there's a goodness in them. It just needs to be stirred up. It needs to be brought out. They move together and they go into Bethlehem. And as they go into Bethlehem, they said, "Is this Naomi, the pleasant one?" Verse number 20, she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Myra. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." Amen. "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi? Seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me." So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. So we see these two ladies as they come back to Bethlehem because they heard that they was bred in Bethlehem. We have two women that show up here in this town called Bethlehem, the house of bread. They come with no money. They come with no job, and they come with no prospects of any of that. Amen? Come with no hope. But notice the providential care of an almighty God. I'm talking about a kind and a loving God. Ruth Moabitess, she tells her mother-in-law, She said, "Let me go, now go," verse number 2, "to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." Grace. That unmerited favor. That undeserved favor. Ruth knew something about grace. Amen. The grace of God. "And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers." Now watch this. "And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz." Said she just happened to pull up in a field that belonged to Boaz. Just hap. Just happened. Just coincidence. Amen. just a coincidence that the providential hand of an almighty God hooked her and brought her and drew her to a field, praise God, of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Providential care of God. Amen. Brought her to the field of Boaz to glean. Now, to glean was something that the poor and the destitute did. Amen. That's what the poor of poors did. They gleaned. And the law of the land was that they would, the property owners, when they gleaned their fields, they would leave the corners in certain areas for the poor and the destitute. Praise God. It was kind of like a welfare program, praise God, to take care of the poor and the destitute. They would leave those corners. And Ruth went to this field and she began to, she asked them, praise God, she said, hey, listen, he said, I want to just get in here and I just want to glean in the edges. I just want to get a little bit of substance. And she went in there. She began to glean and gleaned all morning. Amen. Praise God, you see, taking place. So we see a time of chastening and a time of calamity. We see them pulling up into Bethlehem, praise God. And then we see a time of commitment. Amen. A time of commitment. Praise God. See, she'd done asked her, told her mother-in-law, said, you know what? Said, I know things don't seem to good right now. Said, I know we don't have a lot of prospects, but say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find me a field and I'm going to glean. So I'm going to trust in the grace of God and I'm going to go to it and I'm going to glean in those fields. Amen. She began to make that commitment. Praise the Lord. She made her choice. Praise God. See, she made a choice to stay with her mother-in-law, to serve her mother-in-law's gods, to live with her mother-in-law for her mother-in-law's gods, to walk in the way that her mother-in-law's God would draw her. She done made a choice. She done made a commitment. She done stepped out, prayed. She done broke the ties that bind. Amen. She stepped out on faith. Praise God. Amen. So we see that time of commitment. That commitment did pay off? Sure it did. Amen. Boaz shows up in the field as the reapers are reaping the harvest. He salutes them. Amen. And then he begins to ask, whose damsel is this? Who is this lady that's gleaning in my fields? Amen. Praise God. Hey, was something about her caught his eye. Amen. Now the name Ruth literally means beauty. Amen. There was something about her that caught his eye. And he asked his reapers about her. Says the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. He said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning unto now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here, fast by my maidens. Amen. The kinsman redeemer. Amen. She didn't know who he was, but God knew who he was. Boaz was a wealthy individual. Amen. He owned about everything in sight. He had control of it. He was a man of renown. He was a man of means. And he tells this damsel just to stay tight with my people. He said, let thy eyes be on the field that they do reap and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. She fell down on her face, amen, and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me? Watch this, seeing I am a stranger. He said, I'm just an old Gentile dog. Said, why would you even take time to notice me, a stranger? And Boaz says this, he answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me All that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. Amen. He said, it's been brought to my attention where you come from and what you've done and how you've been faithful to a little thing. Praise God. It's been brought to my attention. He said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Boaz said, this ain't coming from me. This is coming from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen to what he says. He said, a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Now watch this. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. Amen. He said, hey, listen, the full reward of God is coming from God, under whose wings you have come to trust. He goes full circle, goes back to Deuteronomy 4 and said, if you'll call on God and you'll seek God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength, God will bless you. Amen. He said, you've come full circle, full reward of the blessings of God. And he said, God's just allowing me to be the blesser. Praise God. So she makes a commitment. Amen. Praise the Lord. And they said that when she was risen from up to glean, verse 15, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Amen. He said, let her glean among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Don't say nothing to her. He said, oh yeah, by the way, he said, let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. He said, not only let her glean among the sheep, but he said, every now and then just drop a few handfuls on purpose. He said, make it easy on her. Praise God. He said, fill up her bushel. Praise God. Amen. Bring her in. Praise the Lord. Because she made a commitment. She's committed. She's made a choice. And so let's just show her the goodness of God, the blessings of the Most High. Amen. When we make that choice, when we make that commitment to God, then it allows God to begin to bless us with the blessings. He puts us in the, praise God, under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. Where we get to see the goodness of the hand of God ministered to our hearts, ministering into our lives. So we see this Most High God. But the thing I want you to see here, as Boaz said, he said, hey, what you've done, you've made that commitment to God that you put yourself under whose wings thou art come to trust. Amen. See, that Deuteronomy chapter 4 don't do you no good unless you listen to the calling of God. Unless we come to God when He calls us. Amen. Said Ruth had listened and heeded the call of God. He brought her out of Moab and brought her unto Bethlehem, that place of bread. So we see He brought her through that time of calamity, brought her into a time of commitment. They could bring her into a time of, now watch this, comfort. To a time of comfort. Amen. The calling under His wings. He called her up under the wings of an almighty God. And the secret was His calling and her coming. Amen. Jesus stood in Jerusalem and He said, how many times would I took you under my wings like a chicken takes her chicks and you wouldn't come? Amen. But He said, if you'll come unto me, come unto me. Praise God. A safe place. Under the wings of an almighty God. Have you ever thought about that? I was thinking about that. I was moving some turkey feathers out of the shop day before yesterday. And I was thinking about this. Those wings, under the wings. Amen. You've got the contour feathers of them, which is those stiff, spiny things that's on a chicken's wing. Amen. They're stiff. Amen. They're real stiff, and they create a shield, if you will. And in on that is the barbs. That's those little feathers that's on them, the little prickly things that comes out of that contour part. And then out of that, those barbs come, those little hairy barbs. They call them barfalus, something like that. And they're like little bitty hooks that go together. And they zip together almost like zippers. Have you ever looked at a wing? A turkey's wing, a chicken's wing? When they got the meat off, when they got the feathers off of them and they've been deep fried. But those things are ready, and then you have the bird, the turkey, or the chicken that they're doing the what they call preening, and they're constantly moving and putting the oily film over those things, so that when those things, praise God, I'm talking about a place of safety, amen, a place of comfort. Those place of safety is under those wings, praise God, that when it's all said and done, because of that bony structure and because of those feathers and the way that they're woven together, when it's said and done, there's nothing penetrates underneath those wings. They're 100% airproof. They're 100% waterproof. Amen. They don't leak, praise God. They don't cause any problems. They're 100% airtight, watertight, praise God. Weatherproof. Amen. Because of what the way God has designed it to be. And He said it's under those wings. God says wants to put you at place of safety. Praise the Lord. It's a place of safety from everything outside. Everything under those wings is protected. Nothing can get to it. Nothing can get through it. Amen. Praise the Lord. A lot of times you can shoot turkeys in the wings and it won't kill them. Amen. And unless you can shoot them close with a, that'll wait 35. But anyway. But it's a place of protection. Wherever the outside forces. And He said, that's what you've chosen. You've chosen that better part under the wings of an Almighty God, that place of protection. Amen. A place of comfort, place of protection, a place of safety. But not only, you know, God's amazing. Not only does He give us a place of safety and under the wings, but under the wings, there's also a place of comfort. There's that soft place under the wings. That soft place, where that inner down is. Amen. Where that under the safety, under the canopy of the wings, praise God, is that soft, praise God, that soft underbrush that keeps warm, that's fluffy, that keeps you comfortable. God's not just a God that wants to protect you in the canopy. He don't want to just throw a tent around you to protect you with, praise God. He wants to pull you up in a place of safety, but He wants to give you a place of comfort, praise God, a place, a soft place in the heart and hand of an Almighty God. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of God. That's what Boaz was telling her. He said, you've chose the best part under the canopy in the wings of an Almighty God. He said, don't get much better than that. The insulation, the protection, cozy and warm, protected from the outside world. Amen, praise God. That's the place that we desire to be. God wants us there. He cares about our comfort. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know about it. Look at the 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1. Verse number 2 says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God says, I make you a place of safety. He says, I make you a place of comfort. And when you get in there, praise God, and everything bad is outside, and you're living comfortably under the shadow of the wings of an almighty God in the comfort, praise God, next to that soft and warm, that downy place, a glory, hallelujah. Just tell others about everybody else about it. Say, hey, listen, come on, come one, come all. Praise God, come into the place that God would have us to be in the comfort and the compassion and the love under the wings of God Almighty. Man, praise the Lord. Under His wings, that's the place to be. Praise God. That's the place to hang out. David would say it many, many places. One of my favorite ones. David said in Psalm 17 and 8, he says unto the Lord, he said, keep me as the apple of the eye and hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Amen. He said, keep me as the apple of the eye, that most tender part. Amen. And he said, and hide me under the shadow of your wings. No wonder Boaz would say unto Ruth, he said, under whose wings thou art come to trust. See, God called and Ruth came. Amen. She had moved up under the shadow of an almighty God. Under the wings of an almighty God. She put her trust, her faith in God Almighty. Left a far land. Left a far people and a God that's no God at all. Followed Naomi into a land. Praise God. Where God Almighty was real. She stayed steadfast. Next to Boaz's maidens. Verse number 23, and I'm done. It says, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Amen. That covers a time and a span from May till the middle of July. So for several months, she made a commitment to hang out in these fields, to hang out next to his maidens, to hang out under the shadow of the wings of an almighty God. Amen. Praise God. Did it pay off? Sure it did. If you'll look and study, you'll find that Ruth, praise God, becomes the line and the heritage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Boaz and Ruth become the great grandparents of a young man called David. Praise God. Amen. A little fella called David. Amen. Praise God. Ruth and Boaz would have a little boy named Obed. That they'd have him, praise God. And what a blessing that was. If you want to look at chapter number 4 and how God begins to bless them. Amen. You know, Boaz takes Ruth to his wife, a tieback kinsman redeemer, Lord Jesus Christ, and the church. Praise God. And they get this little old Obed, and he's brought into the family. That his name literally means worshiper. Amen. Worshiper. Yeah, praise God. Said, so this little fella said he's going to be a worshiper. He's going to worship God. He's going to give God glory. Because mom and daddy's going to tell him, praise God, about all the things and chain of events that come to place that brought them to where they are today. And mama say, son, that's why we're hanging out under the wings of an almighty God. In a place of comfort, in a place of protection, and furnished by God Almighty.